Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, June 13th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
oil surges after an attack on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman.
Lawmakers in Hong Kong scrap debate on controversial legislation for a second day.
Stocks in Asia slump for the second session, and Alibaba files confidentially for a second listing.
President Trump says he'd be open to accepting dirt on an opponent from a foreign power.
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower. The St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup for the first time ever. They won Game 7 in Boston. They'll play Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight, and they'll start the U.S. Open Golf today at Pebble Beach.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are gaining this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7.5 points, Dow futures up 63, NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, CAC in Paris up about 0.2%, FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.5%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong little changed. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.11%, yield on the 2-year 1.86%. COMEX gold is up 0.3%, or $3.80 to $13.40.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.1289 against the dollar. The yen, 108.45. Nathan.
Yeah, Karen, oil is surging this morning after an attack that damaged two tankers in the Gulf of Oman. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Anthony DePaula in Dubai.
It appears that there is one vessel that sent out distress signals. Some of the crew has been evacuated. There's reports that a vessel was on fire. It's just between kind of the UAE territorial waters and Iran's territorial waters, just outside of the Strait of Hormuz. So that's an area, obviously, of a lot of tension, given that there were earlier some attacks on tankers in that area.
The owners of one ship confirm it was damaged by a blast, but the cause of the incident is still unknown. It sent crude up as much as 3.9%, though it's currently off those highs. We get more from Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
More than 16 million barrels a day moved to the Strait of Hormuz. So this kind of incident would inflame rising political tension in the region from what we saw last month. What we know about these two ships, though, that they were likely carrying products, the tanker front Altair headed for Taiwan and the Koku Courageous headed for Singapore, about 100,000 tons between these two ships.
And stocks in the Gulf are falling on the news. Bond yields in the region are rising. Oil is bearing the brunt of it, though, and checking prices right now. West Texas Intermediate is up 3%, $1.51 higher, $52.66 a barrel, while Brent is up 3.5%, or $2.10, $62.07 a barrel.
In Hong Kong, lawmakers scrapped debate for a second day on legislation that would allow extraditions to China. Protests over the measures led to police deploying tear gas to stop demonstrators yesterday. Despite the violence, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam plans to go ahead with the vote.
I will not shy away from my responsibility in introducing a piece of legislation, though we are very convinced of the justifications that causing this public outcry and all these divisiveness in society. But sometimes, as a political leader, you cannot shy away from difficult decisions.
With debate on the measure already canceled today, there's less tension in the city center right now, though some protesters have started to gather. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel is there.
Here in the epicenter of yesterday's protest, and there's starting to be some rumblings of young people with the surgical masks, even the goggles, showing up, passing by here. It's not a mass display of protests yet. The cleanup crews have come in, cleaned it up, but now it seems like this tense calm that we've had for a while is starting to bubble up just a little bit.
And they could bubble up a bit more this weekend. Protesters have applied for a permit to march again Sunday in opposition to a bill they say would blow up the legal wall that keeps Hong Kong's justice system separate from China's.
It was another volatile day for stocks in Hong Kong, while equities throughout Asia fell for the second straight session. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, stocks in Hong Kong continue to be under pressure as lawmakers scrap debate for a second day. Hong Kong interbank lending rates soared while the Hong Kong dollar stabilized after rising to December highs during Wednesday's trade. Money going into bonds and the yen saw the Nikkei 225 close closed lower by 0.5% in Tokyo. Stocks in Shanghai and Shenzhen fared better, along with tech stocks in Seoul. Elsewhere, the Australian dollar declined and the Australian three-year yield dropped below 1% for the first time after the unemployment rate down under remained at 5.2% in May. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Bloomberg News has learned Alibaba Group has filed confidentiality for a Hong Kong listing. Sources say the company filed a stock listing application with the exchange this week without the need for financial disclosures. The offering from Alibaba could raise as much as $20 billion.
The UK's largest retailer is reporting disappointing sales. Tesco says it's feeling the squeeze from Brexit, with sales that rose at half the rate analysts expected in the first quarter. The company's also under pressure from Amazon. It's expanding its alliance with Morrison Supermarkets to offer groceries in more cities across Britain.
Here in the U.S., shares of Lululemon are up more than 6% in early trading after earnings beat estimates. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Comparable sales rose 16% on a constant currency basis, above the 11.4% estimate from Consensus Metrics. It now sees profit at $4.51 to $4.58 a share this year. Investors have become accustomed to strong growth at Lululemon, and the latest quarter shows that there is still momentum. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. And coming up today, we get earnings that may provide insight on the fallout from U.S. actions against Huawei when Broadcom reports results after the close of U.S. trading. Broadcom is one of the world's biggest chip companies. It's a major supplier to Huawei. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Forecasters think the chipmaker will post an adjusted profit of $5.15 a share for the fiscal second quarter. Investors may be more interested in Broadcom's outlook in light of the current trade tensions and Washington's actions against Huawei. Bloomberg Intelligence says the company's sales and earnings will likely be squeezed in the coming quarters, but that could be offset by the coming of 5G technology, which is seen boosting demand for Broadcom's handset radio frequency chip. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures up 7.5 points. Dow futures up 68. NASDAQ futures up 31. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 2.11%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. 6:07 on Wall Street, and John Tucker's here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Ed, good morning, Nathan. President Trump says if a foreign power were offering dirt on his 2020 opponent, he'd be open to accepting it.
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it. If I thought there was something wrong, I'd go maybe to the FBI if I thought there was something wrong.
Speaking to ABC News, Mr. Trump said, I think I'd want to hear it. He adds there's nothing wrong with listening. Several Democratic presidential candidates, including Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, repeated their calls to begin impeachment hearings in the wake of the president's newest remarks. Contempt of Congress citations have been issued for the Attorney General and Commerce Secretary. That story in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
This after the Trump administration refused to abide by subpoenas regarding questions on the 2020 census. The House Oversight Committee voted out the citations for AG William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross.
For defying duly authorized subpoenas from this committee and refusing to produce documents required by those subpoenas.
Chair Elijah Cummings says it goes to the basics of the Constitution. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Democratic National Committee has a money problem that could hurt its nominee's chances of beating President Trump in 2020. In the first 4 months of 2019, the party spent more than it raised and added $3 million in new debt. In the same period, its Republican counterpart was stockpiling cash. The UK has signed an order that lets American bid to extradite WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange come before the British courts. The U.S. has charged Assange with 18 counts related to endangering national security by conspiring to obtain and disclose classified information. And global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. And this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, it is a long hockey season, and things can change. 2 months in, St. Louis Blues have the worst record in the NHL, but they fired their coach, promoted Craig Berube. They brought up rookie goalie Jordan Binnington from the minors, and the Blues began to win and kept winning, and they ended up doing something they've never done before.
From worst to first in just over 5 months, the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in franchise history, have won the Stanley Cup. They mob Jordan Binnington to our right, throwing their gloves and sticks up in the air. The Blues have done it. They win three straight games in Boston. They defeat the Bruins in Game 7.
Westwood won the call. Bruins outshot the Blues 33-20, but St. Louis won the game 4-1. Ryan O'Reilly got the first goal. He scored in each of the last four games. He won the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP. The road team won 5 of the 7 games in the series. The NBA Finals have seen the road team win 4 in a row. We'll see what happens tonight. Game 6, last game ever at Oracle Arena, the NBA's oldest venue. Another chance for Toronto to dethrone Golden State. Kevin Durant's in a hospital in New York. He had what he termed successful surgery on his ruptured Achilles. Mets and Yankees start 4-game series tonight. Yanks at the White Sox. The Mets host the Cardinals. U.S. Open golf begins today at historic Pebble Beach by the Pacific Ocean. The defending Open champ is Brooks Koepka.
It's such a special place. Just the history behind it. You look at the guys that have won here at Pebble, all Hall of Famers, you know, some of the greatest players to ever play the game. And, I mean, how can you not like the views? It's a cool place just to play golf and just to be here. It really is special.
Koepka comes off his win at the PGA Championship. But the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. And the Cleveland Cavaliers have lured away another prominent college coach, this time coming from the women's game. Lindsay Gottlieb is leaving California after 8 seasons. She's going to be joining John Beilein's staff in Cleveland. Gottlieb becomes the 7th female assistant in the NBA. And while she's not the first female assistant in the league, she is the first to make the jump from head college coach to a pro bench. Earlier this year, Beilein made a beeline out of the college game as well. He left Michigan after 12 seasons to take over as head coach of the Cavs. Right now, S&P futures are almost 8 points higher. Dow futures ahead by 68 points. And NASDAQ futures up 31. The 10-year Treasury yield, 2.11%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And with crude oil prices up 3% or more, we will check in with Bloomberg oil reporter Alex Longley to get the latest on this attack in the Gulf of Oman and what it could mean for the market moving forward. Stay with us for that.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. 2 oil tankers were attacked near the Strait of Hormuz. It's the 2nd incident in as many months. China won't back down in the face of President Trump's reiterated tariff threats. A spokesman for Beijing says it will fight to the end if the US insists on escalating the dispute. Russia's angry too. President Vladimir Putin is hitting back a day after the president slammed Russian gas supplies to Europe, saying Russia's relationship with the US is degrading. And it's a calmer scene in Hong Kong today, but tensions are still high as lawmakers scrap debate for a second day on legislation to allow extraditions to China. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 79. NASDAQ futures up 35. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32nd. Yield 2.11%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.8% or $1.46 to $52.59 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.50 to $13.40.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1292 against the dollar. The yen, 108.44. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. A House panel has voted to hold Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt of Congress for withholding documents on plans to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. President Trump asserted executive privilege over the material. And President Trump said he'd want to hear damaging information about a political opponent in the 2020 election, even if it were provided by a foreigner. And an alleged gunman and five accomplices have been detained in the shooting of former Red Sox superstar David Ortiz. Sports. The St. Louis Blues are Stanley Cup champions. They beat the Bruins in Game 7 to capture their first ever cup. And in baseball, Red Sox, A's, and Giants, they all win. The Yankees and Mets were off. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. We're coming up to 6:20 now on Wall Street. And live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we continue to watch the surge in oil prices following this apparent attack on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman, we're joined by Bloomberg News oil reporter Alex Longley. Thanks for being with us here, Alex. First off, what's the latest on what we know about what happened near the Strait of Hormuz this morning?
So there was an incident just outside the Strait of Hormuz in the Gulf of Oman affecting two oil tankers, one owned by a European entity, both heading to Asia from the Middle East, one known to be carrying naphtha, which is a type of oil product that goes into making gasoline and plastics eventually. Both of those were said to be on fire earlier this morning. There have been some reports that one of the tankers has sunk, but we believe that to not be true at this point in time. All of the crew were safely evacuated from both of the ships, and at the moment it's still a very much unfolding picture as to what's going to happen to the ships and exactly how these incidents came about.
And, of course, we're watching how traders are reacting to what happened here with the surge in price. Are supply concerns back in the foreground here?
Clearly, talking to analysts and traders this morning, that's the case. You have to kind of look at it in two ways. On the one hand, oil is up extremely sharply this morning, and that tells you that geopolitics can come along and sort of strike the oil market at any point in time. And clearly, if it is the case that ships are going to be attacked now on a monthly basis, remember we had a very, very similar set of incidents last month, that does raise the geopolitical risks in the oil market and concerns about supply. Now, if you're bearish on the market, you can take that the other way and say, actually, crude fell quite a long way yesterday, at one point down 4%, Brent crude below $60 a barrel. And today, all we've really managed to do is make up the losses from yesterday. So there are times in the past for sure. And I think back to late last year when we were kind of at the peak of concerns about Iranian sanctions and lack of spare capacity in the oil market, where tankers being sort of attacked or sabotaged in the case of the ones last month in the Middle East would have led to a significantly larger move in the crude price than we've seen so far today.
Yeah, I mean, it tells you something when, you know, just a month after that last attack, you know, we have seen that volatility in the price. I mean, is that what we're set up here for, is just more volatility, or could there be some other factor that brings a little more stability to the market?
Volatility is clearly the name of the game at the moment. And I guess you look at this as a crude market torn between two things. The geopolitical risk is the one thing where, if you talk to traders, that's something you can kind of really put your hat on and sort of trade on a sort of fundamental basis, because clearly there are risks for a crude price spike out there given the geopolitical climate we live in. And then the other big story is obviously the macroeconomic picture and the trade war, and that has a polar opposite perspective, right? You're looking at a market that's in danger of potentially falling further rather than spiking. The problem comes for traders in how do you manage both of those risks and take a view on the crude market if you're worried that it's going to spike on a kind of short-term outage, but also at the same time your fundamental view is that the global economy could be in big trouble.
In our last minute here, what are traders expecting to hear from OPEC as it comes out with its monthly report later today?
Clearly, attention is going to be on both the usual figures in the sense of kind of Saudi production numbers and any figures from the kind of the troubled nations within OPEC, so Iran, Libya, Venezuela, and also a focus on demand as well. There's the International Energy Agency's monthly report tomorrow, which I think a lot of traders are looking at to see if they revise their 1.3 million barrel a day 2019 demand growth figure. That's looking perhaps slightly punchy at the moment. And again, OPEC may give us some clues as to how the agencies are thinking about that.
Yeah, we're looking for that report in just a few minutes, actually, around 6:40 Wall Street time. Alex Longley, oil reporter, Bloomberg News. Thank you, as always, for being here. And just checking crude prices at the moment. The surge continues with West Texas Intermediate up 2.7% or $1.38 at $52.52 a barrel. Brent, the international trademark, well above the 60 handle, up 3% now, up $1.84. It's at $61.83. As for stocks in the U.S., pointing to a higher open on Wall Street, S&P futures are up 8.5 points right now. Dow futures ahead by 72 points. NASDAQ futures up almost 33 points. The 10-year Treasury yield up 2.11%, and the 2-year is at 1.86%. It is coming up to 6:25 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Oil rebounding from a near five-month low after two tankers were damaged in a suspected attack in the Gulf of Oman. We get more from Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
This is a region that is responsible for so much of the world's oil supply, more than 16 million barrels a day through the Strait of Hormuz. So any sort of incident here could disrupt not just two vessels, it could potentially be a lot more. That is why you see this immediate spike in the oil market.
Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 2.8%, up $1.44 to $52.58 a barrel. Brent is up 3.2%. It's at $61.87.
Now, U.S. futures and stocks in Europe have reversed earlier losses on the tanker news. They are now higher. Stocks in Asia fell for a second straight session, with equities in Japan leading declines.
In Hong Kong, lawmakers scrapped debate for a second straight day on legislation that would allow extraditions to China. Tensions are more subdued today following yesterday's clashes between police and protesters. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Stephen Engel in Hong Kong.
Right now, it is a tense calm. Some protesters did show up with their masks, with their goggles. However, when they learned that the Legislative Council had decided to shelve the debate today, at least, they kind of withdrew, waiting to see if indeed the Legislative Council will do an about-face or whether indeed it has been tabled for now.
Protesters have applied for a permit to march again Sunday in opposition to a bill they say would blow up the legal wall that keeps Hong Kong's justice system separate from China's.
Alibaba's moving closer to what could be Hong Kong's biggest share sale since 2010. Bloomberg News has learned the company's filed confidentially for a listing in the city. The offering from Alibaba could raise as much as $20 billion.
Amazon stepping up its push into the UK is expanding an alliance with Morrison Supermarkets to offer groceries in more cities across Britain.
And on the earnings front, shares of Lululemon rose 5% in extended trading. The yoga wear maker boosted its full-year profit forecast. This afternoon, Broadcom reports earnings.
Futures this morning higher. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 79. NASDAQ futures up 35. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up almost 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.11%. The yield on the 2-year 1.86%. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.30. It's at $13.40.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1291 against the dollar. The yen is at 108.46. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to get the latest world and national headlines now from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. Republicans are lamenting what they're calling a significant moment in history, the holding of two cabinet-level officers in contempt of Congress. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the very latest.
The battle lines were largely along party lines.
On this vote, we have 24 yeas and 15 noes.
Michigan's Justin Amash, the one Republican joining Democrats to find Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt of Congress for withholding documents on 2020 census plans to ask people taking part if they're citizens. Republicans say, what's wrong with asking the question?
I think it's totally ridiculous that we would have a census without asking.
Now, Democrats say, what's wrong with answering ours? The Oversight Committee's Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
The American public deserves nothing less than full transparency.
It's the reason for asking the question. Democrats question, suspecting it's really aimed at intimidating non-citizens and immigrants. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Donald Trump's comments that he'd accept dirt on a presidential opponent from a foreign government are drawing sharp reactions from Democrats running for president. President made his comments in an interview with ABC News.
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it. If I thought there was something wrong, I'd go maybe to the FBI. If I thought there was something wrong.
Former Vice President Joe Biden says Mr. Trump is once again welcoming foreign interference in America's elections. Several other Democratic candidates are repeating their call for impeachment hearings. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell convened a high-stakes meeting yesterday with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and other Republicans to try and forge a deal that would avert another government shutdown. Top Senate Republicans are urging the White House toward a government spending and debt limit deal that House Democrats can accept. President Trump is threatening sanctions against NATO ally Germany. He also warned he could shift troops away from that country. The president has repeatedly rebuked Angela Merkel's government there over a proposed gas pipeline from Russia. And the downside of living forever is running out of money. Retirement account balances aren't rising fast enough to cover rising life expectancy, according to the World Economic Forum. In the U.S., 65-year-olds have enough savings to cover just 9.7 years of retirement income. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stasha.
Nathan, an unlikely Stanley Cup champion. St. Louis Blues had never hoisted the cup, had never won a game in a cup final, hadn't played in one since 1970. And 2 months into this season, they had the NHL's worst record. But in the playoffs, they were dominant on the road, going 10-3. Three straight wins in Boston, 4-1 last night in Game 7. Bruins were buzzing early but couldn't score against rookie goalie Jordan Binnington. Blues had only four shots on goal in the first period, but scored twice. Added two more in the third. Boston's only goal came very late. The captain of the Blues, Alex Pietrangelo.
Because you're kind of in the moment now, it's hard to explain, but what an unbelievable year. I don't even know what to say. Just where we were to where we are now, it's developed a lot of relationships this year, going through what we went through. I tell you what, I've never been more proud to wear this jersey. This group of guys is it's unbelievable.
Ryan O'Reilly was the playoff MVP. Tonight it's Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Toronto up 3-2, another chance to dethrone Golden State. Yankees could be getting Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton back next week. Stanton last night played a Class A game in Tampa and homered twice. Yanks are at the White Sox tonight. The Mets host the Cardinals. Tiger Woods knows about winning the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. He won there back in 2000 by 15 shots.
Looking forward to it. You know, it's been a while since we played the U.S. Open here, and there's nothing like playing a U.S. Open set up here at Pebble Beach. I mean, it's the golf course is not overly long. It's not big in that regard, but man, is it, it's tricky. The greens are all slanted, very small targets, and if they ever firm up, then we have a totally different ballgame.
Tiger tees off today just after 5 o'clock. He's playing with Jordan Spieth, defending Open champ Brooks Koepka just in front of him. Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson all start late this morning. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Coming up on the economic front today, we get more data on U.S. inflation. Economists say the import price index probably dropped 0.2% in May. The government issues that data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
We could be in for a change after four consecutive monthly increases. Bloomberg Economics says the strong dollar is depressing the cost of imported goods and could lead to a bout of deflation over the medium haul. Lower import prices can be a plus for consumers, but intensify competition for U.S. businesses in the domestic market. Also today, look for data on jobless claims. Expect another low reading. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. As Boeing works to get its 737 MAX jets back in the air, managers at American Airlines say they'll fly on the phone before paying passengers climb aboard. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
It's a move meant to build confidence in the plane's safety. Executives and other staff will join American pilots on flights as soon as regulators certify that the MAX is cleared for travel and before September 4th, which is the earliest date commercial trips will resume. This according to American CEO Doug Parker, who made the announcement at the carrier's annual shareholder meeting. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Netflix is taking another step toward becoming a multimedia empire. The streaming service is coming out with video games based on its shows. On July 4th, Netflix releases Stranger Things 3, the game based on the popular teen series. And there will also be a game based on the Netflix series The Dark Crystal. It's coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The Me Too movement has made clear that a revolution in workplace culture is long overdue. Ultimately, attitudes need to change. But public policy also has a role to play. Reform of employment law can make a valuable contribution, and one reform in particular. More than 60 million Americans are bound by employment contracts that force them to take complaints about sexual harassment to arbitration, not to court. This practice needs to stop. No doubt there's a good case for settling many disputes through arbitration rather than litigation. But arbitration isn't always suitable, and sometimes it's downright unjust, particularly when it comes to sexual harassment. Recourse to the courts should be available when needed. Earlier this year, Democratic lawmakers introduced the FAIR Act, which would prohibit mandatory arbitration as a condition of employment. It's about time. The law should be clear. Employment contracts shouldn't forbid going to court. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Red headline just crossing the Bloomberg Terminal. OPEC is warning trade tensions are hurting global oil demand. Of course, we continue to follow oil prices following the apparent attack in the Gulf of Oman. Brent is up 3.3%, up $2.01 at $21.98 a barrel. S&P futures are 8 points higher. Dow futures up 66. NASDAQ futures up 31 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, a conversation with Republican Congressman Darren LaHood of Illinois, member of the House Ways and Means Committee, as trade tensions persist. What's it doing to Trump's support?
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures moving higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures trading in the green right now with Dow futures up 85 points. S&P's gain 9, while the NASDAQ futures climb by 36. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.12% and oil is trading higher after two tankers were attacked near the Strait of Hormuz. Shanghai was a little changed overnight, while European markets are trading higher, led by gains in Germany. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, import price index and initial jobless claims. After the bell last night, Lululemon Q1 comp sales and profit beat estimates. Shares are up 6% in the pre-market. And RH fiscal year adjusted net revenue view beat the highest estimates. Shares are up 26% in the pre-market. Wrapping things up, Dominion Energy was upgraded to neutral over at Bank of America. Rail Union Pacific downgraded to equate at Barclays. And Delphi Technologies upgraded to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Two oil tankers were attacked near the Strait of Hormuz. The second incident in as many months, one was on fire after being hit by a suspected torpedo. The other vessel was transporting chemicals from Saudi Arabia to Singapore. No one has claimed responsibility. In Hong Kong, it's calmer, but tensions are high as lawmakers scrap debate for a second day on legislation that would allow extraditions to China. Hong Kong's Chamber of Commerce said the public had serious apprehensions about the bill and urged the government there to engage in meaningful dialogue. The St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions. They beat the Bruins in Game 7 to capture their first ever cup. Baseball, the Red Sox, A's, and Giants all win. The Yankees and Mets, they were off. And Nathan, finally from Bloomberg Daybreak. It was on this day in history, 1920, the U.S. Post Office decided it was probably time to ban children from being delivered through the mail.
What?
What a bunch of killjoys. When it began shipping large parcels in 1913, some parents took advantage. One couple mailed their 8-month-old son to grandma.
Yeah.
The baby was just under the 11-pound weight limit and cost just 15 cents in postage. That was cheaper than public transport.
Obviously, well before the time of child safety seats. There's a law for everything. I guess there has to be.
You poke a couple of holes in the box, throw some crackers in. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
So that's how the stork used to do it. Thank you, John. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up to 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump saying he would take it if a foreign source offered him damaging information on a political opponent, at least saying he'd be open to it. The House Oversight Committee voting to hold Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt over documents related to the citizenship question plans on the census. And Democrats potentially facing a problem when it comes to taking on President Trump in the 2020 campaign. Debt at the Democratic National Committee. Also making news, trade. It seems to overhang the nation's capital with President Trump getting set to host Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau a week from today, actually, with the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement waiting for ratification. For more on this, we're pleased to bring in Congressman Darren LaHood. He's a Republican who represents Illinois' 18th congressional district in the Peoria area, member of the House Ways and Means Committee. Thank you so much for coming in, Congressman. Good to see you.
Nathan, thanks for having me on today. Great to be with you and your listeners.
Now, I know you have been pushing to get the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade deal through. Can it get ratified before recess in August?
Well, that's the hope, Nathan. The USMCA is a win for America. It's a win for jobs, for our economy. And if you put politics aside and you look at the merits and the substance of this agreement, it is good for the country. And I give the administration a lot of credit. It was negotiated with the Canadians and the Mexicans, was codified last fall. And now we have to pass it in the House and Senate. It starts in the Ways and Means Committee. I'm part of the whip team trying to get it across the finish line. But if you look at the 24 chapters and whether it's agriculture, which is important to my district, or manufacturing or technology or financial services, this is good. The standards, the enforcement mechanism in here is strong. So I hope we can put politics aside, get the clock started. Of course, the Democrats control that. Nancy Pelosi is the one that is in charge of starting that clock, and I'm hopeful we can get that going.
Are you saying then that politics alone are what are keeping this from moving forward, or do the Democrats have valid concerns about some of the labor protections they would like to see in this agreement?
So they have raised a number of concerns as it relates to labor and environment, and we ought to explore those. And I think Ambassador Lighthizer, our trade ambassador for the administration, has worked with the Democrats to try to alleviate some of their concerns. There's some talk about side letters or side agreements. Of course, you can't reopen the agreement, and so that's a non-starter. But I know Nancy Pelosi has put together a couple working groups to look at, again, labor and environment. But if you think about it, the standards in this agreement, if you drill down into what's in there, we have the highest standards when it comes to enforcement on labor and environment than we've had in any other trade agreement. Remember, NAFTA was negotiated under Bill Clinton, passed by a Republican Congress. You look at the two trade agreements that Obama passed with South Korea and Colombia, the standards in here are stronger than in those. So I want to be careful about not moving the goalpost in the middle of the game, and I worry Democrats are going to do that. Again, we can have a debate on environment and labor, but let's not lose focus of what this means for jobs and economic opportunity for the country.
Is there a worry about the goalpost shifting with the possibility of tariffs being imposed on Mexico if the Mexican government doesn't make the changes to immigration enforcement that the president is looking for?
Well, I think we've alleviated that for now anyway. Remember, the president also had tariffs in place under Section 232 on steel and aluminum. Those went away. He pulled those. Secondly, on the proposed 5% tariff on Mexican goods, President backed down on that after he got an agreement with the Mexicans. So I think that is been resolved for now. Listen, I'm not a fan of tariffs in general, Nathan. They hurt my farmers. They hurt my manufacturers. But I think if they're used in a narrowly tailored way, I think you can get a result that can be beneficial to the country. I think we saw that with what the president did with Mexico. Obviously, we'll have to see if the results come forth. But I think put that aside. I think we're on track to just look at the substance and the merits of what USMCA will do. And by the way, in Illinois, about 40% of the products we grow, produce, and manufacture go to Mexico or Canada, our two biggest trading partners. Mexico imports 98% of its corn from the United States, much of it from the Midwest. So this is a win for the country.
You say you're not a fan of tariffs. The president continues to hold, though, the prospect of tariffs on China if he doesn't get an agreement on that front. How concerned are you that there might not be a deal made between Presidents Trump and Xi?
Well, I'm mildly concerned at this point. Obviously, you know, China is very, very important to our economy. But if you look at what we're trying to achieve with the Chinese as it relates to technology, you know, we cannot continue to allow them to do their forced technology transfers, to steal our intellectual property, to engage in cyber theft. Really, for 20 years straight, they've been ripping this country off. And so I give the president credit for trying to go after the Chinese and using tariffs in a narrowly tailored way. But for my farms, we can't be in a trade war a year from now or 2 years from now. That's not good for the economy. I think we jeopardize a very strong economy by shooting ourselves in the foot if we go backwards when it relates to China. So I'm optimistic. Obviously, the next step in this process will be the G20 summit, where President Xi and President Trump will be there. I think that will be the next kind of inflection point of where we head with trade with China. But it's in the interests of the United States and China to get this resolved. But China's going to have to change their behavior on how they engage in technology, particularly on intellectual property.
So do you still think then that the president is using tariffs in a targeted way against China when he's shown that he is willing to impose tariffs on Chinese imports?
Well, listen, nobody has used tariffs like this president has. And arguably, you look at the Chinese economy, it is down. Their stock market is down. Their currency has been affected by this. So we have gotten their attention. What worries me long term, Nathan, is China can play the long game maybe better than us. Remember, they don't have elections. They don't worry about their constituencies like we necessarily do in this country. But listen, China can't go on without the United States being part of their economic system. And so it's a little bit of a chicken and egg, a little bit of a risk. But I think the president has made progress this far. But again, we got to eventually land this plane.
And looking forward, as you say, to the G20 summit in just a couple of weeks here. Congressman Darren LaHood, Republican of the 18th Congressional District. Wanted to ask you about extenders. We'll have to do that another time. But thanks for being here with us on Bloomberg Daybreak. And as always, you can follow the very latest from Washington on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and on Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
We are watching oil this morning as it rebounds from the lowest in almost 5 months. This comes as two tankers were damaged in a suspected attack in the Gulf of Oman just weeks after a previous incident in the region. Right now, NYMEX crude oil is up about 3%. It's up $1.52. It's at $52.66 a barrel. Brent is up 3.33% or $2.02 at $61.99 a barrel. And OPEC is warning that trade tensions are hurting global oil demand as well. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.